Welcome to this new series, where I'm asking interesting people 10 questions in 10 minutes. What lesson do you hope that the world learns from Ex Machina?
That there are philosophical questions that arise with artificial intelligence that we should all think about and take seriously.
How long until we have a robot like Ava?
I have absolutely no idea. John McCarthy, in answering questions like that, used to say, any time in the next 5 to 500 years, and in all the time I heard him give talks over many, many years, he never adjusted that range at all. So any time from the next 5 to 500 years, I'll echo John McCarthy's response to that one.
What should the general public know about AI?
It's actually very important that in the coming years, the general public becomes a lot better educated in how AI works. So I think people should have a basic understanding of how the technology works. And I think that would be very helpful in allowing all of us to figure out where to go with this technology. So some basic education in kind of how it's built and how it works, I think would be great for everybody.
How do you feel on an emotional level, personal level, about what's coming with AI?
Yeah, I have very mixed feelings, and mixed feelings about what we have even today. So I think in part it's very, very exciting, and there are tremendous applications for AI technology that can be enormously beneficial to humanity, especially in medicine, for example. But on the other hand, I think the social impacts of some of the technologies that we're building is very hard to anticipate, and there are sure to be negative impacts as well as positive ones on the labour market for a start, and in various other areas. So I think mixed is the answer.
Can we build conscious machines?
Well, let me reword the question a little bit. So if the question is, can we build technological artifacts to which we will want to apply the word consciousness and use that kind of vocabulary and those sorts of concepts, then I think the answer is yes, we can in principle. When exactly we'll be able to do that in terms of building things that have the right capabilities and behaviors and internal construction, combined with us as a community and a society adjusting our language in such a way for those things to start calling them conscious and so on, I don't know.
Maybe if we can, should we build conscious machines?
Maybe the answer to that is that we should think very, very hard about doing it. So especially if there were any prospect of us building a technology, building machines that are not just conscious but also capable of suffering. I mean, if we can do that, I mean, it's a very big if, then I think we should think very hard about whether to do it or not. But I do think that possibly as our vocabulary adjusts to the things that we're bringing into the world, we might dissociate consciousness and the capacity for suffering somewhat. So we might be able to build things to which we want to apply the language of consciousness, but that are not really, don't really suffer in the same or have feelings and valenced states of consciousness in the way that we do. So in which case it's less controversial, I guess.
What's the most interesting moment you've ever had while speaking to an AI chatbot on LLM?
Well, that would certainly be in the conversations I had with Claude Oppas in March of this year, 2024, where it was able to field my challenging questions about the possibility of AI consciousness in ways that were slightly unexpected.
What question has fascinated you most throughout your career?
What is the mind? That's the kind of question that I would say has fascinated me most. Now, I actually think it's perhaps a not particularly well-formed question, because I probably want to, with my philosophical bent, I'd want to take a step back and critique the very question as if there were a clear, precise answer to that. Whereas in fact, maybe I want to think about where that question sits in our use of language and in our use of all the many, many mind-related philosophical words that brings up. And so the question itself is problematic, but that would be the question, I guess.
What would you be doing if you weren't working on AI?
I would probably be, in the right kind of world, a writer of some sort. So I do take enormous pleasure in writing, and I very much enjoy scientific writing. I enjoy kind of scientific writing that's and philosophical writing that is aimed at a more popular readership, and you know, I quite enjoy doing that sort of thing as well. And I could easily though imagine that I would have got into writing novels and stories, which, you know, I do in my own time a little bit for fun, but I'm a very enthusiastic reader of literature, and I could imagine in another world maybe I would have done that, world permitting, because of course you've got to have a lot of luck to make a success out of that.
Do you think the path to AGI requires some kind of huge genius breakthroughs and new ideas, or continuing in a similar fashion to as we are now?
Well, it's interesting because I think I'm not quite sure whether the term how useful the term AGI is anymore in some ways, because I think according to the definition of it, whereby it's all about building something that can that has the same level of generality in solving tasks requiring cognition that humans have, then we're sort of almost there already according to that definition. We do. Large language models are pretty general purpose, and they can solve an enormous range of tasks. So we have already built a kind of AGI. But on the other hand, it's not what I envisaged when I was working. When I've been working on this throughout much of my career, it's kind of a different sort of generality because it's not embodied and so on. So I don't quite know. I guess is the answer. But I don't think. So the question was, will it require some great breakthrough? Well, we're kind of already there to build the sort of thing that I envisaged as real proper AGI. Maybe it needs a breakthrough. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe just scaling with the right kind of data, more embodied data, more modalities, vision, and in a kind of, you know, more embodied setting, even a virtual environment. Maybe that's enough. I don't know.
If you enjoyed this episode of the series, remember to subscribe for future ones and check out another one now.